This is the perfect man, chair 4, 5, and 6. The reason I go over that is because only God can make a perfect man.
Amen.
Only God can make a perfect man. Now, he made us, first of all, perfectly for this world. But now he's making us perfectly for the next world. Perfectly for the next world. So you're made naturally for this world, but it's not enough. It's not enough. You have to have a new creation. You have to be created again, this time by the Spirit. So you weren't created spiritually. You were created naturally, with your natural wisdom, your natural strength, your natural mind, your natural will, emotions, and all that stuff. So that's not enough to get you into heaven. So God, seeing that, he said, you know what? Apart from me, they can't do anything. But in me, they can do all things. Even live a natural life. You can't even live a natural life. Because the flesh, I don't know, it's always susceptible to sin. Your flesh, while you're in this body, is always susceptible to sin. So he had a new idea. Let's make people not only after our image, let's make them after our likeness, so that the image of God is supplemented by the likeness that they have in me. So let's turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. 2:15, Galatians 2:15. Now remember, we're after making a perfect man, and he makes it after you're justified by faith, you're sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit, and you're purified or made perfect by being led of the Spirit, born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, 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 Spirit. Love, love, love. Now that's God's love. That's God's love. That he made a way when there is no way. He made a way when there isn't any way. There's no way that under the law you can please God. No way. And to prove that, he made the Jewish people. And they've proven it. They've lasted all these years. And they're still trying to keep the law. Golly, that's persistence. That's persistence. They're still trying to behave themselves. But a whole bunch of them have fallen away. They're secular Jewish people. And they realize, yeah, that religion stuff doesn't work. I mean, it may be okay for the future or something like that, but ain't working now. So Netanyahu and many other leaders in the Jewish community, they are not going Orthodox. So a lot of them say, don't think because we're secular, we're not also believing in God. We believe in God. We just don't believe in Orthodox religion. We don't think the law. And Ariel Sharon, who's now dead, Ariel Sharon, who met Robert and was a friend to his, he said, this thing doesn't work. I'm going to send my family and a lot of other leaders. I'm going to send them to America. I'm going to send them to J.H. Ranch out in California. And so they came back as Christians. They got born again.
Hallelujah.
Now, I know the man. He's a great man. And so this is a powerful thing, that God knows how to make Jewish people Christian. Man, that's an awful thing to do that. Boy, God must be really, really awesome to do that, to make Jewish people love Jesus. But Ariel's kids are in the army. They became young when they came as youngsters. And now they're back in the army, and if you say praise the Lord, they'll say, you know, hallelujah. They will. And they're in the army. I mean thousands and thousands and thousands of them.
Yeah.
They have an arrangement with that particular place, California.
Amen.
All right, so God is good. I want to read from 15 to the end of the chapter. So let's read it.
Galatians 2:15.
Now, at 15, it says he's going to talk as a Jew. We Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles. So he's distinguishing. Hey, we're under law. We Jews by nature. By nature, we Jewish. That's how we're Jewish, because we're by nature under the law. Well, the rest of the world is lawless. They worship idols. All the Gentiles were idol worshipers. Only the Jews worship the true and living God. However, they never kept the law with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their strength, nor did they love their neighbors as themselves. Even to this day, though they claim they do, but they don't. So Israel's having trouble keeping that law. So the Jewish people need to do what Paul did. Let God be God. Let God be God. How many know that the Jewish people, very arrogant, very stiff-necked, very proud, and he knocked them off his high horse? He was on a high horse, and he was going to kill Christians and persecute Christians and injure Christians. But God knocked him off and said, hey, now that you're off your high horse, I'd like to have a talk with you. Why do you keep opposing me? Why do you keep opposing me? Well, it's because of the law. The law says, be good. That's not what God says, Jesus said. That's not what God says. God says, let God be good. Boy, that's a big difference right there. Be good, which no man can do. All men are under a law. Either the natural law or conscience, or they're under some kind of law. But those laws don't work. Behaving yourself doesn't work. If you're laboring, if you're heavy burdened, you better come to Jesus. Don't go to God. Do not go to God. He didn't say, go unto God. He said, come unto me. Why? Because mercy triumphs over judgment. And if you keep the law, you'll be judged. With the law you keep, you will disobey. Even Moses did that. You remember the sin Moses made? Big one. Huge. I mean, horrible. Do you know what he did? Do you know what he did? God said, speak to the rock, and he hit the rock twice with his stick. He didn't say hit it with a stick. Didn't say that. Moses was a little bit mad at that. This rock doesn't give water, like you said. I'll bring water out of the rock. Jesus is the rock, and the water baptism is how you get into him.
Praise the Lord.
You can't get in any other way. You cannot. So you got to do it the way Jesus said. Don't hit the rock twice. That's double jeopardy. You can't be indicted for the same crime twice. You just have one death to die. That's it. So you can't hit it twice. The law is fair, but it's not harsh. You die once. You're born to die. But, you know, your death could be by faith. It could be by faith. By faith, it could be. Death could actually be your psychology. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your imaginations, all that needs to die. Dan, don't use your mind. Don't trust your mind. Don't trust your mind. Not only that, don't trust your emotions. Don't trust your emotions. I know, Karen, you tried to read those self-help books, and they won't give you emotional happiness. I read all the self-help books, and they didn't work. So don't trust your mind, don't trust your emotions, and do not trust your will. Because what you want is not what God wants. What you think is not what God thinks. What you feel is not what God feels. Here's his word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, that kind of goes against our...
Hallelujah!
You know, in this world, people are only joyful when they're ignorant. But when they actually learn what life is all about, they get miserable and poor, blind, and naked. I mean, this life stinks. This life stinks after a while. So you have to ignore your emotions. You have to ignore your mind. It's not, you ate of the tree so many days, you're an idol worshiper. You know nothing about nothing. Keeping the law doesn't work. Keeping it outwardly, that's not being circumcised in the heart. So that won't work either. You just still are eating of the tree. They never stopped eating of the tree. The world today is still eating of the tree. Humanism. It won't please God. Man in his best state, it won't please God. Building the Tower of Babel, you can't finish it. So whatever you do is wrong. So everything you want is wrong. Everything you feel is wrong. Everything you think is wrong. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He doesn't think like us. He's a loving father. So he introduced the gospel, good news, to go against your mind and your will and your emotions. So I hope every day when you're praying the eight parts of prayer, I hope when you're praying every day, God shows you a new wicked sin in yourself. I don't want to see any more wickedness. Yeah, well, you have it, so go ahead and see it. Because he won't just say what you think he's going to say. He's going to say something you're not expecting. Because he's smart. And he knows the real sin is this one, not that one. I thought my real sin was I'm impatient. Yeah, well, that's not it. God is really clever. He knows all of his Ten Commandments. No, that's not your sin today. This is your sin today. Is you're cold. Oh, cold. Is that one of the ten? No. He kind of surprises you. He might pick out jealousy. You don't know what God's going to pick out as your major sin for the day. Are you all in the one-a-day plan? I'm going to embarrass David. See if David prayed this morning. I'm going to check him out. David, what sin did the Lord show you today? Yeah, right. Okay, amen. So you have to ask him. What sin did I commit today?
Janet,
no. You know, that is good. Janet's got a voice from God and tells you her sin today.
He slumbereth too long.
Because he stayed up late last night. Worrying about his granddaughter. He worried about her. Whatever. So. Yeah. I was going to go call upon Dan, but I decided not. I'm not even going to visit that one. What sin did you commit today? So God, every day I die daily. God, every day I die daily. God, every day I die daily means he shows you a sin today that's blocking your coming to heaven. And just on the one-a-day plan, that's all he shows you. And if you could take care of that one sin today, you'd be a conqueror. you'd be more than a conqueror. Just one a day, you'd have 365 in 1 year. That's amazing. So, how many sins do you have? God knows all your sins. And don't worry, when he died on the cross, he forgave them all. For everybody.
Amen.
For everybody. He died for Adolf Hitler's sins. He died for everybody. He didn't say, well, I'm not going to die for the wicked. No, he died for everybody. I'm only going to die for people that are openly sinful. No, he died for everybody. Even religious people, he dies for them too. Even people that think they're good, he dies for them too. He dies for hypocrite sins. So, every day you want to hear what the Lord is saying. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But you can just start with yourself. Because if you could just cure your sin, that might help everybody else.
Yeah.
If you just got rid of your sin, it'd probably help. At least that day. And you have to start all over again the next day. I die daily. Every day you have to die. Give us this day our daily bread. Which before he gives you bread, he might, tell you one of your sins. Because unless you die, you won't resurrect. Unless you die every day, you won't resurrect. So God wants to make sure that Karen is pure. And so we're on our way to purity. He who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Why? Because you don't do it. God does it. God's just showing you the sin he's working on, not the sin you need to take care of. I'm going to say that again. He's not interested in you taking care of the sin. He takes care of all sins. When he died on the cross, he covered them all. So now he's going to show you which one is operating today by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is holy, and he knows if there's unholy in you. And so he's not only forgiving you on the cross, he's now cleansing you every day from your sin. Otherwise, you will not go to heaven unless you're perfect. He has to perfect you in love. Perfect you in love. In other words, do you love only God? Only God. And therefore, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Since you love only God, and loving fathers always chasten their sons. Loving fathers always chasten their sons. Amen. Praise God. It's good. Did you make a sin today?
Absolutely.
Already?
Oh, yeah.
You just woke up a little while ago. You already made a sin?
I'm late.
So that one was easy. But that's probably not the real sin. So God wants to get rid of your sins. Why? Because unless you're tested, your faith is not real. Every time you believe in God, because you're only saved by faith, anytime you believe in God, he'll test that every day. Every day. Are you still with me? Yeah. Put my hand to the plow. Ain't turning back. So every day, he has to make sure. Uh-oh, I'm working on a sin today. You want me to tell you what it is? Yeah. What is my sin today? And then he'll say, jealousy. Well, I'm not jealous of anybody. Yes, you are. And it'll show it to you. Ah, yeah. Well, I am. Yeah, that's right. Did you know he could pick out any sin and it would be accurate? But he's a rifle shot. You know, it's not a shotgun thing. It's a rifle. Right to the neck. The thing just drops on the floor. So God knows how to get you with exactly the sin you have today. Isn't that amazing? That's why you need to spend time in the Word. Because the Word has lots of sins in it. Anything not of faith is sin. Anything not done by the Word of God, faith in the Word, anything done, that's sin. If you make it up, that's not it. Oh, I know what my sin is. It's anger. And I'm mad at you, God, for not showing me my real sin. Well, he's not going to do that because that's not your real sin. You just made that up because you tried to hide your real sin. How many know that you can do that with God? you can say, this is my sin, when it's not. And then he'll correct you. That's not your sin. Your sin today is you didn't honor my word. Or your sin today is you didn't love your wife as Christ loved the church. Or your sin today is you listened to your wife instead of listening to God. You know, he can just surprise you. And you never know what he's going to come up with, but it'll be accurate. Amen?
Amen.
So how many wake up every morning and you say these words? God, I can't think of anything, but if there's any wicked way in me, show it to me now. Here I am. And God will chuckle a little bit, and then he'll reveal that sin within a few minutes when you say it like that. God, I can't think of anything right now. The Holy Spirit just right there. That's one. Just try it. I'm just saying, try it. God, I can't think of anything. I think I'm perfect today. I don't think I've done any sin. Could you just show me one? You know, just come like that. It's amazing how he's kind of faithful like that. It's powerful. So, I want to read this chapter. We who are Jews by nature are not Gentiles worshiping idols. That's all he's saying. We're Jews by nature. We're under the law of God. They don't have the law of God. They're just making their religion up. They're idols. The Gentiles. Now, this is what he says. Listen to this next verse. Knowing, it's not a verse, it's actually completing, that a man is not justified by works of law. That Knowing, this is the knowledge he'll give you. Do you have this down? Knowing, we who are Jews by nature, he's only talking to Jewish people. Knowing, you Jewish people, Paul is not wanting to convict them of sin. He's trying to convince them that they have this sin, that even though they're under a law, they don't keep it. Jewish people have never, ever, 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 ever kept the law without faith. Now, Abraham kept the law because he didn't have a law. He only had the law of conscience. He only had the natural law. So he kept the law because God made a promise to him. I'm going to show you a land. You've never been there. I'm going to show you a land without a map. I will personally show you this land. And that's where you'll see a city with foundations. Like, what are you talking about? I'm from Ur, the chief city of the world. This is the time of Ur. Ur of the Chaldeans. So Ur of the Chaldeans is where he's from, and it's a major city. And so he said, I'm going to show you something that's not Ur. And this one has foundations, which you've never seen. Plural. Wow. I like to see that one. Well, I'm going to show you that city. Wow. It turned out to be Jerusalem. And when he got there, it was a pile of rocks. It's like, whoa, this place has a lot of rocks. And so it's a rocky place. And very little grows there. But if you put something in the ground and put a little water on it, it'll grow. So that's what they found out. Wow, you can even grow in the desert if you had water. But there ain't no water except that Jordan River. And a few that run down from the mountains round about, the Jabbok and so on. So this land now has become a fruitful place. Because the Jewish people who came back to the land plant. They don't just chop trees down, they plant trees. Thousands and thousands. And I bought one in 1976 when I was there. And I bought one of those trees. I'll bet it's a big one now. But they didn't tell me which one, so I have no idea which tree I bought. But it's one of those tall trees, because that's been a few years. And probably was this little, and they planted it. Now it's probably quite big. So, we who are Jews by nature and not Gentiles, Not Gentiles means we don't worship idols. Oh, okay. So you worship, the Jews worship the true and living God. Have you done it? Well, we're trying. How many know trying is not in the Bible? Be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be ye holy as I am holy. I'm the standard. God is the measure of all things, not man. You are not the center of this world. The world does not revolve around you. A lot of this younger generation has been spoiled. They feel like the world owes them something. When I was raised, they said, the world doesn't owe you anything. You have to go out and earn it. That was the way they taught me. Go out and earn it. You have to sweat of the brow. So at 9 years old, I had started earning money. I was an assiduous, I sold the Grit. That's a newspaper. I think for a nickel. And I got weapons for that. Hatchets and stuff like that. I don't know why a young kid like me would want a hatchet. But I like chopping things down. And then I got a BB gun and so on. So by doing all, and I sold seeds in the winter. So I delivered papers, then I sold seeds, and then I used to steal golf balls from the person that would hit them from the first tee, and I'd be hiding in the woods, come out and grab the ball over the hill. And they didn't see me, and I went back and sold them to the next person. That was a crime. That was not right. But I made a nice profit on that, better than selling Grit and selling 10 cents for a package of, you know, hollyhocks. So, but I earned it, and my father then said, since you're a wage earner at nine, I was a wage earner, you have to give me 1/3 of your money. I make 3 and I only get 2. So I learned to be assiduous about keeping my money. I didn't want to buy anything. So I liked the prizes I got. Anyway, the point is, I was under a law. And I didn't like keeping the law, but, you know, in this world, you don't make anything unless you work hard. But in the next world, it's free. It's all free. It's all a gift. We who are Jews by nature and not Gentiles, worshiping idols, we know this, that a man is not justified by keeping the law, but by faith in the promise of Jesus. Oh, that's powerful. So the way you're going to heaven is by faith. And you can't get there any other way. There is no other way. You can keep all the laws you want. It won't help you at all. In this world, it works. And you'll die. Sin and death. You sin, you die. And the reason you sinned was because you weren't perfect. You weren't perfect. You had to be perfect to go to heaven. And the only way you can get there is by faith. Not by believing some human being. Not by believing man's law. Not by even believing in God's law. Not by even keeping the conscience. You can violate your conscience all day long. That won't get you to heaven. You can try to keep the conscience, but that isn't going to work either. You're on the spitting row, just to tell you that. So, here's the deal. Knowing that a man is not justified, this is verse 16 in Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, we also believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because all flesh will not be justified by works of the law. I mean, that's pretty clear. He's making that clear, that the only way you can be perfected up here is by faith. The only way you can go to chair 4, which justifies you, chair 5, which sanctifies you, chair 6, which perfects you in love. The only way you can do that is by faith that Jesus did it all. You didn't do it. You cannot do it. He's perfect. He did it for you, on your behalf. You don't have to do it. It's a free gift. Wow. That, a lot of people do not come to Christ that way. They come and they say they believe in grace, but they actually are under a law. They have grace on the title of their church, but they live by law. Because they all think if you're moral, if you're nice, if you do well, if you behave in a nice manner, you'll go to heaven. We just taught the opposite of that. You can't go to heaven by keeping any law at any time. The minute you're trying to behave yourself and modify your behavior, and the whole educational system is built on that. The modern educational system, in fact, even business, in fact, even the government, everything works by law. In this world, law is God. And the reason you use law is to get rid of God. I'm going to say that again because you didn't understand what I just said. The reason you love the law is it's something you can do, even though you didn't do it, and then say, well, I tried. You can't try. You have to be perfect, God said. I'm the measure. Man is the measure of all things, not man. Man is not the measure. So every other idol worshiper, including Jewish people, are under law. They're trying to be the best they can be. But God doesn't count that. If you don't get an A++ on the perfect chart, you flunk. You don't pass. There's no pass fail. You just fail. You perish. You're under the law of sin and death. So you have to be born of the Spirit of life. But the Spirit of life, l'chaim. That's what you want. And the Jewish people believe in that. L'chaim is the word for life, eternal life. Life, l'chaim. That's tradition. But it isn't a tradition. It's just a fact. You have to do it by faith, though. So you don't get life. You don't get life unless you do it by faith. So the law of the Spirit of life. So the life is in the Spirit. God is Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus is the truth. So you need the Holy Spirit and you also need Jesus to make this thing work. So here, you're born again by having faith in Jesus. Here, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that baptism then produces that fruit on the end. That fruit on the end is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and meekness, self-control, and faith. Those are the nine fruits of the Spirit. And if you do those, you didn't do them. God did them for you. He knew you couldn't because you're not perfect, but He did them for you. How many know that you're not perfect? How many are aware of the fact that you've tried your best, but it's not perfect? But you did try your best. But this world will reward you, but not God. This world will reward you. What do you get? Death. That's it. They really don't care about you. If you behave yourself, nobody really cares because they're not even interested in you. They're only interested in themselves. So you never did break the self-preservation law. Everybody's under that. Yeah, I got to preserve myself. But the Bible doesn't say that. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love the neighbor. So you have to be in chair 6 to do that. You can begin right here in chair 5 right away, coming to church and whatever. But that's really not perfect yet. Because until you behave outwardly, and that was Jesus, by the way, not you. Unless you behave outwardly and your deeds are wrought in God, you don't go. You don't go. So He's arranged all of this. God knows ahead of time because He has foreknowledge of everything. He knows everything and He provided Jesus. Jesus, go down and help people. They're not making it and they don't hear the good news. You go down and die. What? Yeah, you have to suffer. You have to teach them that every day, if you don't suffer, you don't get glorified. Oh, okay. Here am I. Send me. And so Jesus came down and said he learned obedience through what he suffered. You obey as soon as you're dead. As soon as you're dead, you're led. If you don't die, you can't live. So life, only comes from believing in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. So that's faith. Now, I know you don't understand anything I'm saying because it's in the Bible. I'm just saying what's in the Bible. What I'm saying is, if you don't start with four, you can't go graduate to five, and then you can't result in fruit in six. And so all my job is not to make you a Christian, not to help you be a better Christian. It's just to tell you the truth. I'm just explaining to you, Christianity is do nothing. How many are good at doing nothing? How many are good for nothing? Yeah. Doing nothing actually works because you didn't do the work. You let Jesus do all your work for you. Because what he did before the foundation of the world, he died for everybody before the foundation of the world. Later, he manifested that on the cross. 4,000 years later, he manifested that on the cross. It has to be exactly the way I said it. Why? Read it in the Bible. Read it in the Bible. This Bible is all true. Everything in this Bible is true. I went to the smartest school you can go to, and they could refute it all day long. And because I was a pagan, it didn't matter to me because I was a pagan already. But all of a sudden, one day God visited me, a pagan. He said, I like you. Me? You don't like me because I don't even like me. I'm no good. So I like you. And he said to me, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And it struck me. First time in my life I ever even knew that I had a conscience. Like, if there is a God, I'm messed up. Because I've lived my life totally selfishly, not at all thinking about anybody else, parents, relatives, friends. I don't care about them at all. I'm only out for number one. Have you ever been like that? That's good. You have to actually begin that way. If you're not a sinner, if you're not ungodly, you can't be a Christian. I'm going to say it again. You have to pre-qualify for this gospel, for this good news, by failing to be perfect. And when you fail to be perfect, you're teachable. First time you're teachable is a crisis happens and you realize, whoa, the way I'm going is not working. I need Jesus. Maybe I need someone bigger than me to do all my work. Only God worketh in the universe. I'm going to say it again. Only God works. No one else works. If you work, it's in vain. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. It's vain. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That's clear. So the Bible's into the fact that you are able to do nothing. And so they work 8 hours a day, you get nothing. You work 1 hour a day, you get nothing. Well, what? How do you get anything? You don't. It's a gift. It's a free gift. It's just a free gift. Wow. This is good news because I never did anything. I bluffed my way all the way through. I was a total 100% bluff. I faked it all the way. I made up my person every day by here in this group you swear, in this group you don't. You have to say Jesus or something, you know. And I figured that out right away. Hey, in this group, you don't do that. At home, I never swore at home. So, because I knew my parents didn't want that. And so I didn't do it. Because I was out for me. And I just behaved the way I just behaved like everybody else does. I tried to adjust myself to where people wanted you to do. So I get my way. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Everybody does it. All kids will do it. They figure out what you want right away. Ooh, if I don't behave, they'll spank me. So they figure out, I better behave because I don't want to be spanked. Even when they're little, you have to teach them when they're little. If you wait too long, it doesn't work. The Catholics figured that out. You better teach them before they're seven. They figured out if you break them before that, you got them for life. So they're just a behavioral modification group. They want control over their people. The Pope and archbishops and, you know, cardinal archbishops and all that stuff. All the way down to the lowest grunt on the totem pole. They have to figure it out how you can make people behave. Today they use drugs. Today they use alcohol. Today they use a billion things. In fact, you can use anything. Anything man makes, it's doable. But God wants to give you a free gift. He wants you today to go to heaven. Just today. Just today. This is an offer just for today. You can believe in God today and you're in heaven. Even though you don't see it, it's a promise. Hope thou in God. So I have that hope. Hope is always future. Faith is present. Hope is future. But you're hoping in the future. You're hoping that what he's promising in the future takes place, even though I can rejoice today, but I don't experience it today. So you have to kill your flesh, because your flesh has to be killed. How many know that? Your flesh has to be killed. We're heading for that verse that's going to tell us that in a couple of verses. So, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because all flesh, sarx, S-A-R-X in the Greek language, all flesh will not be justified by works of law. If you were born of the Spirit, it'd be different. But if you're born of the flesh, you can't make it. You're not going to make it. So, Dan, a lot of the works you did before you met Jesus were works of the flesh. That's amazing. That's so they don't count. Isn't that mean of God to create you and then not create you so that you're born of the Spirit? No, that's a second creation. You are now new creations. Everybody here is a new creation. Everybody. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. Because it's a small group. We don't even have 10,000 people. I don't think we have that. But thank God we have at least this many. This is good. If you're faithful in small things, he'll give you bigger things. So someday I'll have a billion people. I like that. I'm looking forward to that. I have a billion people. A trillion. A gazillion. Why? I like this good news. This is good news. You cannot find anybody happier than I am on the face of the earth. You find people as happy, but not happier. Because I believe in Jesus, that he loves me for no reason at all. I mean, it doesn't have a reason I can think of. Because I didn't do anything he said. I did everything he said not to do, I did it. And everything he said to do, I didn't. So I was what you... That's a bad seed. I was a bad seed. You don't know, that was a movie years ago. Bad seed. That was me. Because I never obeyed my parents. I only did when they were looking. As soon as they weren't looking, I did bad things. And they didn't know. Because I never shared. I never shared with my friends either. I didn't want them to know, because people tell on you. Oh yeah, you did that. I don't want anyone to. So I was a loner, even though I had friends. I was a loner because I never got close to anybody to tell them what's really going on in my heart. How many know the secret things in your heart? Only God knows. Nobody knoweth. And God loves you in spite of that. He knows what's even in your heart. You're totally selfish. You're born that way. But he wants you to be reborn. Born twice, die once. Born once, die twice. So you die biologically, you also die spiritually. Second death. So for me, I'm not dying at all, because for Jesus, well, biologically, it doesn't count. Because I don't count the flesh. Flesh dies. Did you know flesh will not go to heaven? There's no place in heaven for flesh people. Where are the flesh people? Well, they're not here. What are you doing here? You don't belong here. Flesh is all in the lake of fire. He will judge anybody that's unrighteous. How many here are unrighteous? Don't raise your hand, because it's a trick question. It's not you. Why? Because you believe in faith. You You have faith that Jesus Christ loves you. He's your righteousness. He's your righteousness. He's your righteousness. You don't need any of your own. Even doing good works will not get you into heaven. You can do good works all the way to kingdom come. It won't help you. What Jesus did is final, perfect. You can't add to it. Even though you're bearing fruit, even though it was Jesus, that's just Jesus finishing up what he started. Because the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. So, if God promised that, you don't have to believe this. Nobody has to believe this. I'm only surprised that we have a few people that believe it. It's amazing. Because so many people don't. I'm just surprised. I'm always like, wow, God. Even to have one. Oh, I'd give my arm and leg for that. Just one that believed. But I think you're one of them. You believe. That's powerful. Alex says he's one, but I don't know if that's true. He's not been tested. I'm trying to test him out, but I don't know. But I'm still checking you. But anyway, so, no. This is all free. It's just free. Anybody can take it. All you have to do is be ungodly. You have to be ungodly. God only saves the ungodly. This is in the Bible. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. You can just read it. Romans 4, 5. Just read it. It says, he only comes for the ungodly. This is not for the godly. There aren't any. This is not for the godly. This is only for the ungodly. This is good news for the ungodly. This is good news because all you have to do is believe that Jesus didn't lie. That's all you have to do is believe Jesus didn't lie.
Hallelujah.
And he can't lie. He never has lied. And he never will lie.
Amen.
My cornerstone is also the mediator between God and I. There's nobody in between. I don't have any pope over me. I don't have any bishop over me. I don't have any priest over me. I don't have anyone, you know, emperor or king or anybody. There's nobody between me and Jesus. That's how America was set up. No king but Jesus. That was one of their things. No king but Jesus. And here in Texas, it's don't tread on me. I mean, we had a lot of mottos here. But the main thing is God and country. I mean, they had a lot of mottos that they believed that God and liberty went together. And Santa Anna was so ticked off at that. He hated liberty. And to this day, liberty is at issue. This is a land of the free, the home of the brave. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Forget the brave thing. It's just the land of the free. Because why? We're freed by Jesus. That's all. Liberty does not come from earth. No culture on earth has ever allowed liberty except at the benevolence of the leader, the ruler, the rich man, whoever. No, you don't want that. You want God's benevolence. God's benevolence protects you forever and ever and ever. Right? So, you're going to heaven. You know why? Because God loves you. Can you make him? No. He just does. Can you make God be an angry judge? No. He won't be an angry judge. He is always a loving father. He will never stop being who he is. I am that I am. He's the only one that am. And you am because he am. So now you am. That is, you have a new creation. You are the new creation. Kaine katesis in Greek. You are a new creation. That's how you're getting into heaven. Why? Somebody else did it from outer space. Somebody from way out there came to earth and told us all this. That was Jesus. He did that. And he didn't even have a rocket ship. He just simply came down from heaven, born of the Virgin Mary. Wow! That's amazing. That simple story is true. The Virgin Mary, she said, let it be to me according to what you have said. Let everything that you said, Gabriel, let everything you said, let it be to me that way. That's why she is the mother of Jesus. She had faith. She had faith. Zechariah, one of the relatives of her, see, he doubted when they said, your son is going to be the one that introduces Jesus. And Jesus said, he's the greatest man in the Old Testament. The greatest? The greatest? Wow, John the Baptist was the greatest? Wow, yeah, he was. Why? Because he introduced Jesus. He introduced him. He was the herald. He was the one that went before him. Saying, there's the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. Wow. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Wow. And I'm the friend of the bridegroom. Best friend. So, when he got killed, Jesus started his ministry. When he got killed, Jesus started his ministry. He said, oh, 6 months are up. He's 6 months older. Now I'm 30. I want to start my ministry in the spring. Not December 25th. So in the spring of the year, you can read this in Luke. It's in Luke. When he was about to be 30. So when he was 30 years old, that was time for him to begin his ministry. Now don't teach this to your kids. I'm just telling you. Spring. Passover to Passover to Passover to Passover to Passover. Four Passovers, 3 years. 3.5 years. That's how Jesus fulfilled the good news. Why? Because John the Baptist started with these words. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now that was good news. But they thought it meant stop sinning. Start behaving yourself. It doesn't mean that. It means Nacham in Hebrew. Nacham. Comfort yourselves. Comfort yourselves. Middle voice. The middle voice is seldom used, but in this case it is used. So the middle voice means don't have someone else comfort you. Tell Israel, tell Jerusalem that her warfare is over. I don't have any anger toward Israel. Even though she's mad at me, I don't have any anger. I have a controversy with her being angry at me because they hated me without a cause. But I'm telling you, I don't have any more anger. Comfort yourselves. Your warfare is over. I'm sending my son Jesus in, you know, so many years. 700 years before Christ, that was Isaiah speaking. He was just telling that. Don't worry about it. I'm sending my son. When he came, worries are over. When he came, he just said, I'm going to make happiness on the earth for the first time. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Well, we've never experienced that to this day. There's never been peace on earth. Why? Because men are mad at God. The Muslims are mad at God. The Buddhists are mad at God. Everybody's mad at God because they don't want to follow his true righteousness thing that's up here. This is the perfect man. You're perfectly born of the Spirit. There's your heart. You're born, now your soul has to be renewed every day. And your body, your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, four. With all your soul, five. And with all your strength, six. In other words, you have to be born of the Spirit. You have to be filled with the Spirit, emptied of yourself. And you have to be led of the Spirit. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. Love, love, love. Glory, glory, glory. Holiness, holiness, holiness. So the best has been saved to the last. This silly story actually will conquer the whole world. I don't care who believes it, who doesn't believe it. I have no anxiety of it all. I just know if I preach it and live it, that God will respond. And I know I'm an end-to-end prophet. I know I am. But I'm just prophesying to you. Not with loud music and whatever. I'm just prophesying to you, telling you the truth. This is all in the Bible. Everything I'm telling you is in the Bible. Check it out. Read every day this Bible. Next verse. But if seeking to be justified in Christ, seeking doesn't mean you find it, but if seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves are also found to be sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? Let it not be. So if you put your hand to the plow, don't turn back. How many Christians do? They just right away, they're Christians, they believe in Jesus, and all of a sudden you find them being legalistic again, find them being licentious again, and so on and so forth. Well, that's their decision. I can't, all I can do is tell you the truth. but I can't live your life for you. You have to live it on your own. Are you completely, totally, 100% happy? By faith?
Yes.
Yeah. It's by faith. I thought I'd throw that in, but because it's by faith. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to want it. You just say, yes, I am. You're a Christian. That's a Christian. You're a Christian. If you don't do it by faith, you are disobeying God. You can't say it in fact until he comes back again. Second coming. On the second coming, faith is gone. Hope is gone. You'll only have love. The greatest of these is love. You will be a lover. Now you love God and you see it because you're going to see him as he is. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appeareth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Not only Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, but also King of kings and Lord of lords. He is in charge of everything. Priest, king. Priest, king. Son of Abraham, son of David. When he comes back, you'll be a priest, king. But you'll see it. No more doubts. No more doubts. From then on, you'll be perfect, and not only that, you'll be the new heaven and the new earth. I know you know what I'm saying, but you'll be the new heaven and the new earth. He's not building a building. He's building you. You're the new heaven and the new earth. And once you make it, when he comes back, it's over. The marriage supper of the Lamb, you're going to see him inaugurated. He'll be King of kings and Lord of lords. He'll deal with the enemy and so on and so forth for 1,000 years. Everything will be right. And then after that, only you that made it to heaven on the first day he came back, the second he came back, the trumpet sounds, boom, you'll have your new body, your new soul to match your new heart. Four will be joined by 5 and 6. They'll both be perfect. All three of them. All three of them. So you are now being perfected, and it's not up to you. It's up to God. He made a promise. Let him keep it. Don't help him. Karen, just be yourself, and you're pleasing to God. Why? Because he loves sinners. And even though you're not sinning in chair 4, you are sinning in chair 5 and 6. Why? Because every day you're tempted. Every day. And if you say, I have no sin, you're lying. That was the way Dan was raised. Dan was raised under a father who believed you had to be perfect in this world. That's part of the teaching. They're the holiness group in the late 19th century. And it's wrong. And it messed up Dan and his family. Right? Doesn't excuse you, but it does explain. You know, you try to be perfect, you can't do it. And that's a denomination that said you can. The Nazarene Church. You can do it. You can do it. Well, with Christ in me. That's silly talk. Because till now, the only way you can love your neighbor is by faith, not by seeing it. Why? Because he wants you to have faith and faith and faith and faith and faith. And your faith is in the future. Argue from the future backward. How do you become the eternal Son of God? Not children. Son. You'll all be sons. Everyone here will be a son. Everyone. Just like we're the bride of Christ. Everyone here is a bride of Christ. Everyone here is going to be a son. God mixes his metaphors, but don't worry about that. He likes to mix things up a little bit. He doesn't think like we think. So he knows how to do this, and he's preaching. If you just do chair 4, then he will then lead you to chair 5 to test you. You have to be tested every day. You die daily. And then chair 6 is the fruit of that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. That's all Jesus. That's all Jesus. So when you love, I didn't do it. When you love, you didn't have anything to do with it. You're just loving as you're dead. And you're resurrected. And you know him now after the power of his resurrection life. So his life is your life. You're alive because he's alive. And he's eternal, so you're eternal. So start out with Jesus. That's how you're born. Then, that's a new birth, by the way. That's a new birth. And now you're born, and now you have to die, and then you have to resurrect. You cannot resurrect without being dead. You have to be dead in 5 in order to... This is the great... It detoxifies you. It erases all the toxics that are in your system, all the sin. You can't go to heaven unless you're sinless. Trying to be sinless as the church that he grew up in, that doesn't work. You can't get rid of sin. I once asked a Nazarene pastor, do you not ever get angry and sin? No. So that was good, but it was a lie. You have to do it by faith. You can't actually know that here. You cannot. So this today, it's not wrong to say, I love you, and then say, in yourself, by faith. Because then they'll say, well, do you really? Why don't you behave better? So that's why you don't do it that way. You just say, I love you by faith. I have faith in Jesus, not myself. I don't have my faith in myself. I have faith that Jesus will see me. He began a good work. He will surely complete it. So you say by faith, people hate that. Well, I mean, do you really feel it? No. Do you really want to do this? No. Do you really understand? What? I mean, is this really you or what? It just sounds like you're a hypocrite. Well, that's what it sounds like, but it's not. And God knoweth. Boom. So you don't have to apologize to anybody, because you do this by faith, and if you don't, you won't make it. You have to every day live by this word. We live by every word. Every man mature in Christ. How do you get mature? It's a gift. It's a gift. You didn't do it. He did it. And he wants all the glory. Why? Because he's going to take all the glory and give it back to you. Because he's your husband, and you'll be his wife. All right. Peggy's saying, get going. All right. 4:18. If I build again these things which I destroyed, I confirm myself as a transgressor. In other words, I destroyed the laws that were over me, and now I'm just going back to them. Well, then you're a transgressor. For through the law, I died to law. For through the law, because I couldn't keep it, I died to law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. When he was crucified, I was crucified. And yet I live. Yet no longer I. This is a different I than the original one I had. But Christ liveth in me. That's the hope of glory. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith toward the Son of God, the one loving me and giving himself over on my behalf. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness is through law, then Christ died without cause. Wow. So Christ, the only reason he died is because he's your righteousness. And he proved it by living and then dying. And he learned obedience through what he suffered. So that's powerful. Now, did you get a hold of this? If you did, it's a miracle. If anybody gets a hold of this, it's a miracle. Because, I mean, I could stand here and preach all day on this, because it's my life. I believe all this, and I'm living it. Why? By faith. I don't live it. In fact, I don't want to see it. In fact, I don't want to have any evidence of it. The fact that it happens. Last night was a party here in Dallas, and the hostess said, Jim Borchers, blah, blah, blah. Well, I didn't look up because it's not true. All I did was plagiarize the Bible. But I saved their marriage. And there were 40, 50 people there. And they they don't even know who I am. But, I mean, except the church members. And they don't know who I am at all. So how could they know that what they said was true? But as a testimony. But I accept it. It's true because I did. In Dallas, there's fewer and fewer divorces. And at least 200 to 300 people. I know that. I saved their marriage. How did I do it? I didn't. I didn't do anything. I just said whatever Jesus said to say and said it. And just did it. I just said it. So, yeah. So praise God that people see that. But don't give me the glory. I didn't do anything. It was all God. totally, 100% God. Why? Because I believe this truth is you can be perfect on earth, but not perfect except by faith. You can only be perfect by faith. You can only be perfect by faith until Jesus comes back again. Then you'll be perfect in fact. And you'll see it. But you'll have spiritual eyes. You'll be a spiritual person. Spiritual persons can live in heaven and have total control over what's on earth. And you'll be ruling from heaven. Christ and you're his bride. And then you'll be his wife. And then you'll be the queen. It's often not mentioned, but you'll be the queen. Why? Because there is no other husband except him, and there'll be no queen except you forever and ever and ever. And so you'll be, as the Old Testament says, you'll be decked out in gold of Ophir, O-P-H-I-R. That's the finest gold, and you'll be decked out, it says. But he's talking about your inner nature, not your outer. So your clothing will be the gold of Ophir on the inside of you. So you'll be the queen of heaven. Because everything is heavenly. Heaven, the gold is always a representation of heaven on earth. It's the highest valued. It could be silver. It could be something else, but it's not. It's gold. And you got that out of the Bible. You got that out of the Bible. What makes silver less precious? It's shiny too. And it's more valuable for doing stuff. Gold is just jewelry. I mean, what is gold? But this is a commodity on the earth that's highly valued by men. And it's rare. You have to dig really deep to find that gold somewhere. Unless it's alluvial, meaning in a stream. You can just go by and see it. That's gold. So that's amazing to see gold, because real gold, 100% purified, is white. So when you go on streets of heaven, they'll be white because it'll be pure gold. I didn't know if you know that. It won't be gold looking. Well, that looks like crystal. That's gold. Oh, okay. So it'd be better if it was a diamond, but it's not. It's gold. It's softer. Anyway, hope you were blessed today by the scripture. Don't believe me. Believe the Holy Scripture. All right. I love you all. You're the best.
Hallelujah.
Don't forget that.
Praise the Lord, you're the best.
You're the best. Awesome.